There are several battles on Capitol Hill which are impacting markets. One of the most urgent is raising the debt ceiling by Treasury's October 18th deadline. Here's what President Biden said within the last 2 hours about that.
As soon as this week, your savings and your pocketbook could be directly impacted by this Republican stunt. It's as simple as that. Republicans say they will not do their part to avoid this needless calamity. So be it. But they need to stop playing Russian roulette with the U.S. economy.
We want to talk about where we stand, not only with the debt ceiling battle, but also passing the bipartisan infrastructure, as well as the safety net infrastructure, or the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill. And we're going to do that with Representative Raul Ruiz, Democrat from California. Thank you very much for joining us, Representative. Very quickly, do you think the senators, the Republicans, Mitch McConnell, will blink when it comes to the debt ceiling and what the president is saying?
I'm very wishful that he would, because playing with the full faith and credit of the United States puts in jeopardy not only our economy, but the global economy. Look, this is not new spending. This is paying our bills. Like, every American family has to pay their bills monthly. The United States need to be able to pay our bills. Otherwise, Social Security, the Medicare, and other federal programs would not be able to continue, which would put in jeopardy the lives of many Americans throughout our country.
And Congressman, not only would this potentially impact the economy, we also have that $3.5 trillion spending bill, the bipartisan infrastructure bill, both of those that still need to get through Congress. Let's start with the $3.5 trillion spending bill, because we heard from progressives over the weekend. They did acknowledge the need to scale back the legislation to reach a compromise. We know Senator Manchin has been calling for $1.5 trillion in spending. What would you be satisfied with?
Look, it's not a matter of a specific number for me. And I think that the American people need to focus on the Build Back Better Act more on what it does rather than a figure. And what it does is that it will extend the child tax credit that has already lifted millions of children out of poverty. It will expand the Medicaid so that people, millions of people, will be able to get insurance for the very first time. It'll add vision, dental, and hearing aid and assistance to seniors through Medicare. It will have universal pre-K for our American families and have tuition-free community college. So it would really be a jobs bill that would boost our economy like we haven't seen in our lifetime. And this is what we need to focus on, and not necessarily a specific figure, but the programs that will help American families get back on their feet and boost our economy like never before.
Those of us in the media certainly bear some responsibility, because even in the introduction to you, I said $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill. And yet, Gary Cohn was on our program 2 weeks ago saying we need to have incentives to get people to work. You just talked about an incentive that's within this bill. Child care for parents who need child care so that they can go back to work. Why isn't it being framed that way?
You know, I think that focusing on a specific number is very easy for politicians and policymakers. But what we, like I said, what we really need to do is really focus on the programs that will make a difference for American families. Things that the American families talk about over the kitchen table, whether they have enough money to pay for childcare, whether they have enough money to pay their bills, whether their kids are going to be able to get a good education. And that's what's important for all of us, including my family and all my relatives' families as well. And so childcare is going to be a priority in Build Back Better Act, as well as home care for seniors that don't qualify for other programs, so that they can get the assistance that they need in their home for home care when otherwise they would have to have expensive nursing home or skilled nursing facilities as well.
Congressman, are you confident? Sounds like you are, that your party, the Democratic Party, is going to be able to resolve some of their inter-party differences right now?
You know, I'm confident that we will get to a place. I would have liked to have seen it sooner. We definitely need the infrastructure package. It will be historic. to pass the bipartisan infrastructure package that we have right now. Previous administrations have failed to do so. We're at the cusp of passing that. But we also know that physical infrastructure needs to be accompanied by the human infrastructure. We need to invest in our children. We need to invest in middle-class families. We need to invest in the human capital in our country in order to augment the physical infrastructure investment that we need to be the leaders in this century and the next. We can't be playing catch-up anymore. We need to be forward-thinking and meet us where we are 20 years from now today so that we can lead the world in our broadband expansion, lead the world in our clean infrastructure to really be an example of reducing our air pollution and make sure that we address climate change as much as we can today.
You're chair of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, and my stepdad was from Matanzas, Cuba. And I also know that people make, to their own failure, lots of assumptions about Hispanic, because there are so many millions of people to whom that applies. What mistakes do either the Democrats or the Republicans make when we talk about immigration, or we talk about issues that might be of importance to Hispanics? Because within that category of people, there are so many differences.
There are, and I think that's one of the biggest mistakes, is to lump all Hispanics into one rubric. You know, a Puerto Rican in New York City has a different reality, even in immigration, than a Mexican-American in Southern California, or even a Mexican-American in Southern Texas. A Cuban-American also have different realities throughout. So we really need to identify the geo-regional cultural differences from different Hispanics. However, I can tell you that across the board, Hispanics face one of the most unequal income generating in the workplace, educational attainment, opportunities that are out there. And so Hispanics, like all other Americans, really want the fundamental building blocks of being able to prosper in our country. That's the freedom from poverty, the liberty to have opportunities, the ability to go to school, get a good paying job, work hard, create jobs for the surrounding communities, being able to fulfill their full potential and live in a place without harm to them. That's why we're seeing a lot of asylum seekers from around the world to come here for that promise, that American promise of prosperity, of that old lesson that holds true today, that if you work hard and play by the rules, you're gonna be able to live in peace and help your children prosper.
Right.
Like my
No, absolutely. I got to get your reaction. This just broke while we were talking, that the White House says that President Biden is going to have a virtual meeting with members of the Progressive Caucus and Democratic Progressives later this afternoon, and that the White House plans to offer a smaller reconciliation bill than the one they want. How would you react to that? Because we've heard different progressives say they're on board with the Biden agenda.
Well, that's good news. I think that we all would like to see some very clear, specific clarity in terms of the policies and the cost of those policies in order to meet the negotiation frameworks that they're having with Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema. And that will help us create more of the boundaries that we need in order to really focus in. But what we cannot accept is failure. We cannot accept no deal. We cannot accept leaving the American families behind when we have this enormous opportunity to create historic policy that will put our country in a trajectory like never before since the Great Depression, actually, and to make sure that we really do build back better.
I recall a teacher in elementary school used to say in Spanish all the time, adelante, let's go forward. We appreciate you being here. adelante. Representative Raul Ruiz from California, thank you so much for joining us.